You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to Salon Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go!
My first EDM festival. Yo, 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 it's the Salon Nerds! My name is Gene, a.k.a. Watch the Heat, and I'm here with my boy, Jess. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here.
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host Jeff, aka DJ Carabas.
DJ Carabas. Bro, this episode was something else.
It was something else, bro. It was fun. It was a fun time. I really enjoyed this episode.
This episode is for all the nerds out there who love the lore. This episode is for long-time fans who have watched everything, and little bits and pieces of like Easter eggs from every show was in here. It was just so good.
There are some fun rumors about this episode, so we're going to have to dive into it. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
All right. Well, we have no guest this episode because we're filming so late. It's like 12 a.m. p.m. a.m.
a.m. for you. It is 10:48 p.m. here. Yeah, it's been a very long day.
It's midnight. It's a very long day. You know, we are celebrating Ramadan, so we're going to Tarawih, trying to see if we get workouts in, trying to have a very healthy, conscious Ramadan, you know. So we have to push some of our episodes back where we alternate. Some episodes, we push them up. Some, we push them back. One day I'll miss Tarawih. One day Jazz will miss Tarawih. So we're figuring it out. Also, this Friday we are doing our first ever Love is Blind episode, so don't forget to tune in for that. So that'll be fun too.
Oh, I'm so hyped.
I'm hyped too. This is going to be fun. Also, we still have the colors from The Bachelor. Let's get rid of this.
Nah, we gotta get Mandalorian green, bruh.
Is Mandalorian green? I thought it was blue. I thought we were.
Oh, was it blue? It could be blue. I'm thinking Grogu for green.
Oh, we should do Grogu for green. I'm wearing green right now. All right, let's
kind
do
of like
that.
Grogu too.
I know, love us some Grogu. Not a big Grogu episode this one, but a lot of Mandalorians on here, so we're gonna dive into it. So starts off in Navarro with the High Magistrate, and apparently pirates are attacking their ships. You know, Gorn Shard is attacking, and he's like, "Well, you know what? You didn't show my men a lot of hospitality when they came," and he's like, "Well, you know what? They shot first."
I love that he lied about that, because like, we know Han always shot first, right?
Yep.
But like, in here, like, they clearly shot first. I mean, sure, the pirates were being stupid and, you know, they were drawing their weapons and they were just faster shots, but we clearly shot first here. So but it was a really cool callback to the original trilogy, and I love that.
It was really, really cool. And then, he gives like the droid a message, and the droid disappears, and then the pirates attack. So what are your thoughts about the whole pirate attack? Oh my God, do we actually have people in the comments this late? Oh my God. Razzy's in the comment. What's up?
I just asked if he wants to come on, if he wants to come talk about this.
Honestly, I didn't expect anybody to be up, so I didn't invite anybody. Like, I was like, all right.
Hold on. Let me send Rusty the link. Let's see if he comes on.
Oh, my God. Alive. No, he didn't watch the episode.
Okay.
All right. Well, we are going to be doing spoilers, so beware. Beware. So what were your thoughts about the whole pirate ship stuff? I thought that was really cool. I like that they're bringing in the pirates and stuff, because I really want to see Han and, like, Hondo and like some of these other people. It's gonna be exciting.
I don't know if you can call them pirates at this point. Pirates steal. right? Okay. They just steal, they cause chaos, right? They don't take on an entire planet and like kill civilians just nonchalantly like that. That this feels like something more than piracy to me. This feels like, you know, an attack of like something greater.
They just came down and be like, I am the captain now.
Right. Like, hold up. Like, piracy definition. But, like,
what's the definition of piracy?
I'm looking it up right now. Piracy definition.
Like, is it burning CDs? Because if that's the case, I am a pirate.
I mean, aren't we all?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, yeah. Okay, yeah, so technically it would be piracy if they're attacking coastal areas. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, fine. I hate that, like, the definition of it fits, but, like, it feels so much stronger than just what I think piracy in my mind, you know?
I get it. I get it. I feel like there is a certain type of, like, you know, theatrics and look that you have when you're a pirate, and they're definitely trying to personify that look in a Star Wars universe. So I get that. Well, they call themselves pirates. If that's how they identify, who are we to say?
Also fair. I am so sorry for assuming.
I don't know. It's not misgendering, but it's I don't know, appropriating their whatever they want to be called. They can identify as pirates if they want to. They can leave their friends behind, because if their friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, then they're no friends of mine. All right. All right, so they give this message to one of the Republic fighters, and the Republic fighter is someone that we've actually seen in the trilogies in Star Wars, and a lot of people want a squadron movie to feature some of these guys, but it was really, really cool. I really like that when they showed Captain Teva, and they're at the bar, and, you know, he sees the message, and apparently, the issue is there is a lot of bureaucracy with the New Republic. So they are completely useless. So I guess you see this time and time again where a government is overthrown, and then the government that has to replace it, or whatever entity that needs to replace it, is very, I don't know, doesn't have the infrastructure to be, I guess, successful and efficient in what they're doing. And because of that, there is a lot of bureaucracy and red tape, and the New Republic is kind of letting us down, man. They're letting us down. A lot of things aren't going through. Things aren't happening.
And understatement of the year right there. My God.
Yeah. And then this guy sitting next to him at the bar, a blue individual, talks to him, and he goes, good luck. And I recognize that voice instantly. I was like, could it be? But then when I heard the voice, I'm like, no way did they just do that.
I lost my shit when I saw this man. I was like, oh my God, it's Zeb Carabast.
Oh my God. Listen, for the people that
Wait,
don't know.
I said Zeb Carabast, that's his name.
Carabast is his catchphrase.
His catchphrase, yeah.
Yeah.
Zeb Aurelius.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I'm so tired.
For those, I know it's so late, man. Midnight shows, man. Listen. What was I going to say? It's cool.
Carabast. Yeah,
for those that don't know, he is a character from Rebels. And a huge character, and people are really, really excited to see him. And the fact that he's like a big, giant, blue monster-looking beast thing, you were like, all right, out of all the people we would see from Rebels, he would be the last one that we would see. Right? And it turns out he's like the first. So that was really, really cool. I really, really liked that. And you notice when the pirates came and they took over Navarro, they shot at these monkeys. And I was like, the monkeys are also in Rebels. So it's cool little, lots of little Rebel details in here. I thought that was really cool.
Like, they're doing all the callbacks and Easter eggs. It's just fantastic.
It is fantastic. I loved it. It was so much fun to watch. I think a lot of people are in the comments. I think Twitter would be like, we won. So like the freaking Rebel fans are super, super excited. Loved it. What were your thoughts about the Republic and its inefficiencies?
I mean, it tracks.
I know, like, right?
Every government's like that. That completely tracks. So, well,
but
done.
You know what? You know what? The government's not the only thing that's like that. You ever use Instagram and Facebook? Like, if there's an issue, it's impossible to get a hold of somebody. Like,
do they have support?
Like, I don't even know if they have support. I know people who've lost their accounts permanently, and there's nothing they can do, and no one can do anything to help them. It's horrible.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? If somebody, like, if TikTok kicks me off, there'll be no one for me to contact. Like, legit, I'll just be like, oh, well, I lost 150,000 followers. What am I going to do? There's no one for me to contact. So, like, the government's not the only thing that's, like, inefficient and, you know, bad efficiencies and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I hate everything.
But it definitely tracks, because when COVID happened and people had to sign up for unemployment, it was a hot mess. A hot mess.
No one was ready.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
For that, and that just goes to show you just how fragile our system is.
I know
we cannot shut down for 10 seconds without everything going to shit. Like, that's how efficient our economy is, because everything works so well, right? Mm-hmm. But then the moment one thing doesn't, it's all gone, and we don't have anything in place as a redundancy for it.
Control is an illusion. Mm-hmm. you know what we should do? We should review Mr. Robot. You ever see that show?
Dude, that was a great show.
That was a fantastic show. I love Mr. Robot.
Yo, and it was Rami Malek who was in it, right?
Yes, Rami Malek. Yo.
Yeah.
Mr. Robot would have been an amazing show for us to review.
Yeah, we can definitely do it. I mean, we have like a shit ton of things in our
schedule right now. We got so much stuff. But yeah, yeah. Maybe we got to find out what our slow season is, and we can do it in our slow season.
Yeah, like probably in the summer at some point. Whenever Bachelorette or Bachelor is over.
Yeah, Bachelor's over until June, so we got a little bit of time. All right, yeah. So there's a lot of inefficiencies. And then this guy, this captain, Captain Terra, goes over to some department. And there we meet Tim Meadows.
Like, Tuttle.
What the hell? So he's like, if you don't know him, he's been on SNL. He's been in a bunch of movies. He also plays Principal Glasgow in the show The Goldbergs. Very, very popular comedian, really, really funny. To see him in this world of Star Wars was a little jarring for me. he just has this comedic like vibe to him, right? And it's just so funny.
Yeah, and the big one that most people will remember him by, he was the principal from Mean Girls.
Oh yeah, he's the principal from Mean Girls too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where everybody was like, oh, he's that guy. It's like, yeah,
he's so funny. It was really, really funny to see that. And they were like, okay, this Navarro needs help. And then we see that terrible lady who double-crossed her scientist friend. She comes out and she goes, well, you know what? Let me, put my 2 cents in here and be like, listen, they didn't sign the charter, so technically we shouldn't help them. In fact, they should get a little bit of pressure so they can know what the benefits are of the charter. And I was like, this, I don't know. They're playing games, man. They're playing games. What are your thoughts about that, Jazz?
Oh, man. Like, I understand why they had to do, what is it, episode 3, where she was first introduced?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, now it makes sense, like, why they had to show that there. Like, they had to show all of the buildup to show that she's not interested in helping the New Republic.
No.
She's only in it for what's happened in the past. And she still is, you know, somebody from the past. She hasn't been rehabbed.
Nope.
And therefore, that setup in episode 3 now makes sense for what we're about to see now. And like we said back then, like, all the roads are going to, like, cross and eventually come together. I think we're slowly getting to that, you know, all roads lead to Rome moment.
Yeah, it reminds me of that one scene from She-Hulk. She was like, when she goes, oh, story A is combining with story B. Perfect.
Yeah, right.
And that's exactly what's happening here. Yeah, it was pretty good. I really like that. All right, so Colonel Tuttle is like, hey, we can put a requisition in, but that's pretty much all we can do. And I was like, which basically means they ain't going to do shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. I don't know. Then we go and we see the same captain find where the Mandalorians are. And the Mandalorians come out and they're like, what the hell? I saw Bo-Katan's ship and I was like, oh, maybe he's friends with Bo-Katan and he tracked her ship. Nope. So I was like, okay, cool. Then the Mandalorians found him and they're like, great. Now you are here. We have to move. Thanks a lot. And then they're also like, unless we kill you.
Paz Vizsla being Paz Vizsla. And I was like, you know what? Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Go ahead and kill him.
Yeah. And then the shooter was like, look, Mandalorian, I gave you a pass once. So you kind of owe me. And then he explained that it was actually the droid that led him to where they were. So the droid led him to there. And then he's like, listen, the high magistrate was a friend of yours. He's in trouble. I'm just here to tell you that whatever you do is up to you. This is the most I can do. I like this guy. He's going the extra mile. He's like, listen, the New Republic ain't going to do shit. First of all, he didn't even have to take it to the New Republic. He took it to the New Republic, and then the New Republic said no. And then he took it to someone who owed him a favor, who also owes the High Magistrate a favor. This guy is the MVP of this episode. Ding, ding, ding,
straight
ding.
Up. Captain Teva? Yep, like straight up. MVP. 10 out of 10 work.
So the Mandalorians are like, all right, we got the message. You can go now. He goes and he goes, well, I won't tell anybody, but you're probably going to leave anyways, which does happen.
but for the right reasons time. Like,
yeah, yeah. Also, how the hell do they make that foraging system everywhere they go? Whenever they have to find a new system, they got to bring that foraging system with them. Little,
yeah. Well, I mean, Mandalorians are Mandalorians, man. They find a way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
All right. Also, I like how they call them blue, as in that they're space cops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
But that's what they are. Like by definition, that's exactly what they are. So.
Yeah, I guess they are. Really interesting that we see them hiding in caves, which is very much pulls up to my theory how the Mandalorians are based on the Taliban and Afghans. Mm-hmm. And when I say the Taliban, I mean the original Taliban from the '80s, the one Americans were helping
the
with.
The Freedom Fighters. The
Freedom Fighters, right?
New not morphed. New Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, whatever they are. But they're very much based on the 80s version. And Star Wars came out in the 80s, right? So it makes sense. Really, really interesting. All right. Then Din Djarin ends up making a speech with the feeling stick. Apparently there's like a feeling stick where like only the person holding the feeling stick can talk.
So, the talking stick, yep.
Yeah.
So he's talking. Who has a talking stick? Not you. You can't talk.
And then he's like, listen, I know this guy tried to kill us.
He's doing a great job convincing me.
I know. And we've had beef with him before. But I owe him some favors. And, you know, he also offered us a lot of land where we can live in the freedom and be outside and not live in sewers and caves. And then Paz Vizsla was like, all right, let me talk now.
Yeah, like I love this contrast here.
And I'm like, oh man, here we go again. Paz Vizsla.
Yep.
Always gotta be the contrarian. We see him go up and then like he pulled the old fakeroony on us and he's like, this guy did that, and why should we risk our lives? And he goes, because Bo-Katan and Din Djarin are my friends now.
You know what? This was the perfect example of Congress right here, right? You have Din Djarin giving legitimate reasons for a good idea, for a good purpose, right? And everyone's like, nah, screw this, right? Yeah. And then Paz Vizsla comes in and is like, we're going to do this because we're awesome. And everyone's like, yes, we're awesome. We're going to do it. It's like, God damn it. Like,
what a bipartisan issue they have.
and everyone's like the typical voter, right? It's like, oh, this makes sense. We're not going to do it, right? But then the moment somebody says, oh, we're part of this, yes, we're all in. Like, it's just like, that's exactly how I convince people to go vote nowadays. Like, it's so dumb.
That's so funny. That was pretty good. But Paz Vizsla basically convinces everybody to go, and this is the way. So they're like, you know what? Once again, we find ourselves like that Bernie Sanders meme. Once again, we're asking you to risk your life for Navarro.
Goddamn. Too real.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we see that Bo-Katan instantly takes control. She is a master strategist. And she's like, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be the heroes of Navarro. You know, we're not going to be the scourge. We're going to transcend and become heroes. And they go on this flight, and you see them just dropping Mandalorians off these planes, and they got their jetpacks on. They drop themselves in the middle of this desert, very Counter-Strike style. Like, it was like a video game. I thought it was really cool. Also, I thought it was really funny that the monkeys were the ones that warned them that it was an ambush. Like, the monkeys were like, hey, go, go, go. And they're like, don't mess,
don't mess with them. Don't mess with the monkeys, man.
Yeah, I thought that was really, really funny. It was an amazing fight. We finally got to see the Gatling gun that Viz Vazla was holding. He took it up a cave, and we're like, what the hell? But finally, we got to see him use it.
Hey, I told you it's important, man.
Yes, it was important. We got to see it. And
go
then
go home.
And then the armorer got to fight, and she kicks him ass. No blasters, just weapons. Just like
not her, even weapons. It's her hammer,
tools,
and her tongs. Like, yeah, she's like, yo, let's go. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, it makes sense. They're a warrior race. I'm sure the armorer is also a warrior ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely.
And no mercy for anybody. Like, just like, nope,
no,
you're done.
No. And then the pirates are getting a little bit scared, and Vane just dipped. He's like, I'm outie. 3,000.
I mean, every other ship got destroyed by
yeah.
both Din Djarin and Bo-Katan. So, I mean, you know yeah. your time's like numbered there. You can either dip, you can either surrender,
yeah.
or you can forge ahead, which is what the captain did, and not end well for him.
he went down with the ship, as most captains do, and Vane was like, you know what? It's not running away. It's a strategic retreat.
We live to fight another day.
Hey, that's what I did when I lived in the hood. All right. So the Swamp Thing monster, whoever that captain was, he dead. He dead. But now the Mandalorians have a planet they can call home. So I thought that was really cool. I thought that was a cool speech. I thought that whole scene was pretty good. Jazz, what are your thoughts about the entire fight? That was a cool fight. I enjoyed it.
It was a great fight. I mean, even when they were just coming to the planet, once they exited the hyperspace lane, that visual where it's like you're in this like blue tunnel and then boom, planet, right?
Yep.
I thought that was so cool the way they pulled it off. Like, I know one of my favorite video games ever is Destiny, and that's the effect they use. So when I saw this in Star Wars, I'm like, oh yeah, this is perfect. Then the fight scene itself with, like, you know, 10 ships against one guy, it was a true dogfight. And at this point, I guess we have to call both Din Djarin and Bo-Katan aces, because they each have more than 5 kills in the air on their own, and they're doing a great job. So, like, it was
Destiny,
amazing.
Well, speaking of Destiny, my favorite band is Destiny's Child, and they were survivors.
Hey.
All right, listen. So Bo-Katan is called by the armorer, and the armorer wants to see her. It's like the principal's office. She was sent down to the principal office, and they go down to the old Mandalorian forging area.
In Navarro, the original one that we saw.
In Navarro, right, yeah. And then this whole time, Bo-Katan is just like completely embracing the Mandalorian, the old ways culture and what they're doing. But all of a sudden, the armor is like, take off your helmet. And like, she goes, she hesitates. And it's really weird that she hesitates, because she's not about that life. You wouldn't think she would hesitate. But she's also like, are you sure about this? I don't know. And the armor is like, do you respect my position as like whatever she is, the matriarch of the Mandalorian clan. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, okay. So she hesitates, but she takes it off. And the armor decides that, you know what? We need to find all of the other Mandalorians. We need to unify as one. And you are the only one who walks both paths. You have the respect of the people of the Children of the Watch, who, you know, you have saved the foundling. You have fought all these people. You have bathed in the waters. And you have seen a mythosaur, right? And they're like, because of all of these things, you're special.
Yeah.
You are the one that's going to unite everybody.
The chosen and one.
It's really interesting because when you watch like season one or season two, you're like, it's going to be Jin Daren who's going to do it. He's got the Darksaber. He's going to be the one that's going to bring everybody together. But as we watch this, Bo-Katan's a natural leader. Jin mm-hmm. is not. Din Djarin mm-hmm. is not a natural leader.
He's a natural daddy, but not a natural leader.
Right? He's just like in his own little bubble, and he works really well in that bubble. Like, he's a great dad. He's a great one-on-one fighter. He's a great person in like a short, small team. But like, to lead an army, that's not him. That's Bo-Katan, right? Mm-hmm. And I really, really like how they're setting her up. She is the main star of this season. And yep. I really, really like that. And then once the armor was like, she walks both worlds, Din Djarin looking at her like, wait, that was an option? You're telling me that was an option the whole time?
Yeah. It was so funny. I can only imagine thoughts running through his head like, God damn it, why can't I do this? Like,
Paz Vizsla was the first one. Like, yo, she's showing her face again. What the fuck is happening?
I love Paz Vizsla so much. Yeah, he's so real.
He keeps it real. But it's really interesting. And you know how like we always compare the Mandalorian to Islamic cultures? It does seem like Bo-Katan is going to unite the Salafis and the Sufis together. It's really what it feels like.
Oh my God, it's too real.
Isn't that right? So for the people that are listening and don't know about our culture as much, the Salafis are pretty much like the literalists who take the you know, everything super literal, and the Salafis are like a lot more spiritual. These are mm-hmm. the two sides of Islam, and then most people are somewhere in the middle. But it does feel like the Mandalorians also have this issue with these two sides, and I think it's pretty funny.
They walk both worlds.
yeah, you walk both worlds, right? So that was really, really cool. What are your thoughts about the whole Mandalorian and the walking both sides and the Bo-Katan's new leadership role or whatever new role that she's going through?
I mean, it was expected. Like, the whole season was set up this way. The fact that the Mythosaur more or less revealed itself to her shows you exactly how important she is. Because, like, if the Mythosaur was, like, you know, hibernating or, like, always just there but never shown itself, I mean, it revealed itself to her for a reason, right? It just doesn't happen for no reason. And then everyone just picking her as a leader. Like, all throughout the first four episodes of the season, we saw her becoming a leader. Mm-hmm. And this whole redemption story, how, you know, she now walks the way. Like, it was always set up for her, Darksaber or no Darksaber. So we're heading into a very cool, you know, next few episodes. Because they, at the end of the episode, they said it. We're going to take back Mandalore. And I'm like, yes, this is what I'm here for. Unite all the Mandalorians, take back Mandalore, and let's go. Let's do this.
So a lot of people are saying that the armor may actually be revealed to be Sabine.
Sabine?
Yeah.
Really?
That's what a lot of people are saying. I don't know if I believe it, but I'm hearing a lot of Twitter chatter about that.
Oh, man, that would be interesting.
Yeah. But then they would have to cast a brand new person to be the Emperor. I mean, the Armorer, right?
I don't know.
That's weird.
I don't know. It's a really interesting theory. It could work.
Because the armor is such a prominent character that it kind of feels like she should be somebody famous or like someone in the lore who just gained a new identity. Or she could just be a nobody and a brand new person and you never see her take off her helmet. I don't know. They could go either way.
I mean, You know how I think it is more likely that it is than Sabine? Sabine's mom. Because she was a matriarch of Clan Ren, right?
Yes.
This would bring in Clan Ren. Because Sabine's a rebel. She didn't even care about Mandalorian, like...
Yeah, culture. She didn't.
Until yeah, she got like, she left. Right. Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So, I think it could be the mom of Sabine. So, you have Klaus Ren, or Clan House Ren. I said Klaus. House Ren, House Kryze, House Vizsla, all coming together, like, to unite. And I think this is going to be really fascinating. But that also adds a more interesting twist. If it is Sabine's mom, then once everyone is united, we take back Mandalore, House Ren may come back and try to take the throne.
Interesting. Well, here's where it gets even more muddy. So the end credit scene, I don't think it was an end credit scene, but the end scene, there was a ship that was deserted, and it was a prison transport. It was attacked, yes. And it was a prison transport ship. And when they did a little bit of research, they were like, oh, it's the ship that Moff Gideon was in. And we've heard rumors.
What a coincidence.
We've heard rumors in about two episodes that he never made it to trial. So weird that like people are hearing these rumors. They're true. And they're keeping it hush hush.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow Palpatine has returned.
Always. Always.
Well, at least they showed how it happened, right? They showed the transport this time, so that's good. I thought it was really interesting that they have found out that the people who broke him out were actually Mandalorians,
which is very fascinating because I think we're going to get introduced to a couple of the other clans now, right?
Yeah,
we've already been introduced to, you know, House Kryze or Clan Kryze, Clan Kryze, Clan Vizsla, right? The others are, you know, Clan Eldar, Clan Rook, Clan Saxon. Like, they haven't, even Clan Ren, even though we're talking about, like, you know, they're already here. They haven't actually been introduced. So this would be a really cool segue to get the other clans introduced. And then Moff Gideon facing absolute justice, not, you know, Republic justice, but absolute justice.
But did they break him out to face justice, or did they break him out because they struck a deal? Because they are bounty hunters,
right? Also. So I think they are bounty hunters, and they did strike a deal. But once they found out what he did, all gloves are off. Like, you don't hurt Mandalorians the way you did at that point. He's done.
All right, I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to go. Moff Gideon is such a great villain, and I love the fact that they are sprinkling mentionings of him throughout this season without actually showing him, just growing the mythos that is Moff Gideon, and it's going to pay off, hopefully, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it's going to be so great. I am very hyped for the season now.
Me too.
Like, it started off a little slow. It started off going all over the place. But, like, you know, that's a cool thing about a good story, right? It all comes together in the end. And that's what we're headed for.
How many episodes are there? 8 or 12?
I think there were 8, right?
So we only got 3 episodes left? Oh, man. That's a lot.
It might be 12. Mandalorian Season 3. Number of episodes, 8.
Damn. That's not a lot. So we really just got, like, 3 more episodes to go.
Well, then I think the big stuff with taking back Mandalore and all the war and all that will happen in seasons 4 and 5.
So it looks like they'll just... it's really strange because, like, I thought him getting to the caves was going to be pretty much the whole episode. I mean, the whole season. It ended up being one episode. Then them, you know, going back and being accepted by the Mandalorians, that happened in one episode. So who knows what they can do? They've been going fast and loose. The only episode where I feel like they didn't have a lot of story was the one episode where they went to the side story, and I feel like we'll see how that paid off.
The setup is there, like we're seeing inklings of it now, and I get it now why they had to do it that way.
I still don't understand why they killed the guy, or did they kill him? They just fried his brain or something. But like, wouldn't they need his brain? Like, I don't understand. It makes no sense.
Trust in Dave Filoni, who actually made a cameo this episode.
Wait, he was in this episode? Who is he?
Oh my god, you didn't.
I didn't catch it.
Okay. So in the very beginning, right, where they're at the bar, where Captain Teva gets the first holocron message, right?
Yeah.
Dave Filoni's there as Trapper Wolf. The executive producer Rick Famuyiwa is there as Jib Dodger, and the director of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Deborah Chow, is there as Sash Ketter.
No way.
They're all there at the bar, and they were also in the first episode of The Mandalorian Season 1 called The Prisoner.
That's so funny.
But yeah.
Deborah Chow is the same person who does She-Hulk, right?
Yes.
Wow, that's really, really cool.
Yeah, she's in this universe as well.
That is awesome.
Yeah, they're all in the bar. If you go back and look at it,
that's like, cool to see.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
All right, that's super cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm super excited. I think we're going to see some Mandalore on Mandalore crime, and then hopefully they will unite under one, and it'll be Bo-Katan that they will unite under. We'll see, because I want to know how the dark saber comes into play. If she'll end up needing it, or she'll be able to do it without.
There's going to be a lot that's going to be happening here, so I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they may still treat her as a leader, even without the Darksaber.
You know, I feel like she has done enough to gain respect from, you know, the Children of the Watch, and her clan already, you know, follows her. She's got to get a few more on her side, and she has done a lot of heroics. She is a great strategist. She is a great leader. She is a great fighter. She can do it all, man. She looks good in a headband. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah, I think they're setting up all the clans this season, and just to bring them all in together at the end, it's going to be fascinating. I'm so hyped.
My favorite clan meeting. The only kind of clan meeting I support.
God damn it, Neebs.
With that, that's all I have to say. Jazz, any thoughts before we head off?
Yeah, there are two other things that I found really cool about the episode. One was the fact that they mentioned the type of ship that Gorian Shard was flying. It's called a Corsair. Mm-hmm. Right? That was first mentioned in the Thrawn prequel novels, and as you all know who listened to the show, I'm a big fan of Admiral Thrawn. So I feel like, you know, they're throwing more little hints in there that Thrawn is coming back, or Thrawn's coming to live action, not just, you know, the animation. And then it was really funny that they called, you know, the land that the Mandalorians are giving, like, Bullock Canyons.
Yeah.
That's a reference to Jeremy Bullock, who was the original Boba Fett in The Empire Strikes Back and The Return of the Jedi. And so I was like, that's a cute little Easter egg.
That is a cute Easter egg. Yeah. Oh, that's super cool. I like that.
Yeah, the showrunners are doing a fantastic job getting everybody involved and, you know, bringing everything from the universe, whether in our universe or in Star Wars universe, as like little hints here and there. It's so great. I'm hyped. I love this episode. I love the season. And I can't wait to see where we go.
Yeah, I'm super excited too. I'm really excited to see where we go. And there's a lot of stuff going on with cloning, and there's stuff going on with Bad Batch. So I'm excited to see how it all comes together.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. And you know it's late. We know a lot of you could not join us in the comments, but make sure to like, share, comment, and subscribe. And make sure you give us a good review. Give us some good reviews, man. We want some good reviews.
Tell your friends. We love interacting with more people. It's always a great time.
When you give us reviews, our name comes up higher in the searches when it comes to like recaps and stuff like that, so more people can find us. So give us good reviews, 5 stars, and we really, really appreciate it. And then we did episode 49. So on our 50th episode, we will read out some of the comments and share them with everybody, and that'll be a lot of fun. I can't wait to share some of the people and recap some of the people who have been on season 3.
Yeah, we got to do the 50th anniversary special. It should be great.
Yeah.
And 50th episode special, yes. Not anniversary.
And I got a new theme song for our intro, so that'll be not the fifth. I got a new intro, basically.
Yeah. I was like, we're going to get rid of Jai Wolf? No.
No, we won't get rid of Jai Wolf, man. He invites us to free concerts. We can't get rid of his song.
Oh, God, no. He's so great. We love him.
I know. I got to have him on so we can show him our original intro, because we made that intro specifically for him when we went to his EDM concert.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all I have for this episode. Until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
Peace.